Welcome to the Antioch Initiative Podcast, a podcast about the unreached and topics related to giving them access to the good news of Jesus.
Hi, this is Nick with the Antioch Initiative Podcast, and today I have the privilege of talking with Ed Nye, who is the Director of Mobilization for Eurasia in Assemblies of God World Missions. Ed, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nick.
Hey, you know, Ed, you've been involved in missions for a long time and are very experienced. And so I wanted to ask if you'd be willing just to share with our listeners a little bit about your background, how you became a missionary, some of your journey, and then how you became, how you came to your role today as Director of Mobilization for Eurasia.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks. I actually grew up in the States, my first early childhood was just a typical American childhood. And my dad was a pastor. Long story short, my family kind of got involved in reaching out to an unreached people group right in the United States. And as a result of their efforts and the move of the Holy Spirit, we actually saw a church planting movement start among this people group. And so I was exposed and brought up, and it's almost like a missionary kid, but within the U.S. culture and environment. And it might be surprising to you, but actually the call to missions was something I wasn't really interested in. It was something that God was slowly drawing me into, and it really took him, God moving me step by step. Into a Bible college. I said yes to the ministry. I said yes to whatever he wanted me to do. And then he specifically called me into missions, and I said yes to that. And then my wife and I met and married while we were attending what was then Southern California College, now Vanguard University, out in Costa Mesa, California. And we both experienced the call to a long-term call to reaching unreached Muslims, specifically Iranians. Wow. That was kind of the, in Iran, we were hoping to actually get to move to and minister and do church planting in Iran. That never happened, but we did live in Turkey. We lived in Tajikistan, and later we became the area directors for an area of the world that Assemblies of God World Missions calls Central Eurasia. And Central Eurasia is like 10 countries, 500 million people. It's all the stands, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all those Central Asian stands, Azerbaijan, Iran, Turkey. Yeah. And about 500 million people, about 97% of them unreached with the gospel, about all of them Muslim or Muslim background. And so a lot of experience in reaching the unreached, and we're directors of mobilization as of November 1st. We've kind of transitioned out of field leadership, and now we're on the state side of things and trying to draw more people into the mission field. It's something that we have a lot of experience with anyway, because as an area, we started out with roughly 20 adults in for all of those 500 million or so people,
right?
20 or so missionaries. And when we left, there was close to 200.
Praise God.
So God really helped us. And so I was asked by my leader, Omar Beiler, to, hey, could you kind of help us build some of those systems and,
sure,
and reach out to the U.S. church and to call more people into the harvest field?
So, yeah, it's wonderful. 20 some missionaries to 200. That's great growth. Praise God for that. And well, as you're involved right now in mobilization, what are some trends you see in mobilizing people to go to the unreached?
Yeah. So, the mission is the same. The call of God has always been the same. It's to reach people who haven't heard the gospel yet. And in our part of the world, it's specifically those who have no access or little access, what we would call unreached people groups. So even though the mission is the same, culture changes, there's generational culture changes, the boomers are different from millennials, which are different from Gen Z. And so the way you approach them and expose them and introduce them to what the call of God means, what missions is, and to help them to appropriate the call of God on their own lives, that has changed. We have seen some trends. Most specifically, it started before this global pandemic, but it really has changed the paradigms of just about everybody to move and be much more comfortable in a virtual world, right? Sure. So Gen Z, technology, they're fluent in the digital world. That's where they're most comfortable. Millennials are also super comfortable. But now even my generation and older, they're working from home. They are, they're on Zoom calls. Technology to them is something that they've appropriated. So a lot of it now is exposing people to the call of God and the mission field and things like that through digital means and through virtual means, as long as the real experiences, right? So we're not talking about videos and like, that's a piece of it, but most of it is making those connections with missionaries on the field.
Sure.
To actual people in the U.S., you know,
right.
And that's a huge trend because before it was, you know, the number one way that you engaged with missionaries was on a short-term trip.
Right.
Right. Even in the churches, that missionary speaking in churches, those don't happen as much as they used to. So if you really wanted to engage with a missionary, you had to take a short-term trip. Well, now we're taking a lot of those short-term trips virtually.
Sure.
And creating those connections virtually. And it's been a tremendous boon. People are responding in ways, and people are responding who normally wouldn't even go on a short-term trip.
Sure.
To the call of God. So that's kind of an exciting trend that's happening.
Wonderful. Sure. Any other trends that you've seen as you've been mobilizing people to be a part of the Great Commission?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's some less than positive trends too, obviously. Some of the trends are that, you know, discipleship in the church has generally not been a strong point where it has in the past. So when people feel that call of God, they may not really have too many spiritual disciplines. They might not know what missions is. They might not have good practical ways of serving the Lord. They might not, you know, they might believe some things about missions that are simply not true.
Sure.
Or have some misperceptions. And that's more and more the newer the generations are, from the millennials to the Gen Z, that's more and more the case.
Wow.
So we have to respond to that. You know, we don't complain about it. Instead, we adjust to it. And so that's probably a less than positive trend that we had to kind of regroup and address in different ways. We can't approach missions in the same way,
sure,
or mobilization in the same way that we did even 5 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe we continue to learn and grow. Well, I know that another positive trend that you've been engaging with is helping to continue to focus on the need for bringing a more diversity in sending from the USA. And I know that steps have been taken to try to help people of color also engage more in going. And would right. you share a little bit about that? Some of the things that have been happening.
Yeah, this is something that's I'm really passionate about. When I was on the leadership team for my region of the world, Eurasia, we looked around and we realized within Eurasia and within the Assemblies of God World Missions, which is my sending organization, the organization was roughly at that time, I think, only about 4 or 5% diverse, non-white.
Sure.
And I think probably 1 or 2% were Black Americans.
Sure.
That's since gotten somewhat better. We're now closer to 7%, 7 or 8% diverse. But the sad thing about it is this, Nick, within the United States, the Assemblies of God is one of the most diverse, I'll call it a denomination, even some people
sure.
don't
yes.
like that terminology. Assemblies of God is one of the most diverse denominations in the United States, probably the most diverse denomination. It is 40, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, which is amazing. Yeah, it's supposed to be approaching 44%, I think. You know, non-Anglo, which is
right.
which is getting close to our culture's actual makeup as far as diversity. Not quite, but we're getting close.
Right. And so when we saw that, we look at that statistic. Our constituency is like almost 50% non-white.
Right.
And then you look at the sending agency and you see that we're woefully behind that.
Sure.
And it's more than just the issue of diversity for us was like, you know, we are reaching the world. And so we need the whole body of Christ to engage in the mission of God. And if Revelation 7:9 is the picture of what heaven is going to be like with every tribe, people, and tongue, then our missions arm also needs to look like that.
Right.
And there's something. And so we started exploring what's going on. What are some ways that we're doing? Because it's clearly got to be us, right? So what are we doing? What are we not doing?
Right.
That is preventing people from engaging in becoming missionaries themselves and going out into God's global harvest and to accomplish the will of God and to access that call of God in their own lives.
Sure.
So we started down that journey, and as we've come a long way. We've got a little bit later, I'll talk about some of the exciting initiatives that we've just started.
Right.
We're making steady progress. Not just within Eurasia, but within all of AGWM. And my hope is that very soon we're going to see a radical turning towards a very diverse missions body.
Yeah, that's amazing. I am encouraged by the heart and the desire and the direction towards engaging, you know, having everybody who's a part of our churches also engaged in the Great Commission. I want to come back to, you know, we're going to come back to some wins and things you're doing. I know you're going to bring up some great initiatives that have been happening with diversity in particular in the Great Commission. But I also want to ask just where do you see most missionaries coming from that are going out today? What categories or, you know, when new missionaries coming, what do they look like? And, or is there a particular description, one description of the type of mission, of people who are going out today from the Assemblies of God into the world?
Well, one of the things that we have been trying to do, and especially as the director of mobilization, what I'm trying to do is to make it easier. If you look at missions engagement as one side of a river, and then the person with, and that missions engagement could be praying, it could be giving, it could be actually going out into the fields for whatever length of time. And you look at the other side of the river, and there is a person on that side who might have a burden or a call or some vague feeling that they should be engaged in missions. Our job is then to put stepping stones from one side of the river to the other, to help that person
sure.
to get from one side to the other. And so we've really, really made it, tried to make it easy in Eurasia for all different kinds of people to get from one side of the river to the other. And so we've especially seen a lot more, we've skewed a lot younger in Eurasia.
Right.
We have a lot more college age, a lot more Gen Z and younger millennials, as well as some older millennials as well. But then we've also started to see, because we're intentionally reaching out to people that some people call finishers. You know, their kids may have grown, they've had a career, but then now they're looking at finishing well,
right.
Doing something different with their lives, doing something that's meaningful and that matters.
Sure.
And so those two ends of the age spectrum, first the young and then the a little bit older, more my age and older. Where the core of our growth used to be was in the late 20s, early 30s, pastors and ministers. Well, that's actually where we've been shrinking, and that's no longer the core anymore. So we need to do a lot of work again. Young and old is wonderful, but we need the entire body of Christ to be engaged. And so we're going to be looking at, you know, what are some ways that we can engage some of these maybe business leaders or pastors and ministers or others that have that for some reason don't see missions anymore as a viable option for them.
Sure, sure. Wow. Well, I wanted to lead you to go to the next question here, which which would just basically ask you to share with us, what are some wins? What are some things that you see God doing, you know, extremely encouraging things God has been doing in the area of mobilization? I know that some of that has to do with diversity, but anything that you can share, I'd love to hear what is happening that in the area of mobilization and God is giving wins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot, and it's there's a lot of recent things that have just been incredibly encouraging for us. Let me first go back to the issue of diversity, because there's challenges and obstacles for people of color to join the mission field that just don't exist for me as an Anglo-American male. I pretty much can make up my own mind. I can do whatever I want to do. And I don't see the obstacles that a lot of people of color see. And because they don't exist for me. One of the things is that, white households have 20 times more wealth on average than households of Black Americans. And 19 times more wealth than Hispanic Americans. So, the fact that, there is a massive wealth gap between, Black Americans and white Americans, it's a reality. It's something that we've come to grips with lately. Sure. And so we have to, as a missions organization, know about that as well. And we have to be aware of those obstacles. Another obstacle in creating a more diverse missions body is the fact that, a lot of people of color, they look at their own communities who need Christ, and they're like, we really need to reach our own people. And there's this focus on the here and now and what's in front of me, because I can't focus on the whole world when I look around my community and they are in need of Christ too. So it's a positive thing. But we also have to understand that the experience that I have as a white male in America is very, very different from the experience of, say, any person of color in America, and specifically Black Americans. I mean, right now, as we're speaking, they're doing jury selection for the murder trial of George Floyd, right where you are, Nick.
Yep. So
I think the last year has really called our attention to the fact that, we have to be able to try and see things from different perspectives, because people of color do not have the same experience that I have. And so that's actually led to some of the wins that I'm going to talk about here.
Sure.
So, for instance, one of the things we did was we reached out to the National Black Fellowship of the Assemblies of God, which is an ethnic fellowship within the Assemblies of God of Black ministers.
Right.
And they really poured into our missionaries, and we saw what was going on in the U.S. and we wanted to engage. And so we wanted to understand, and they came and they really mentored us, and they took us alongside of them on this journey, and they helped us to understand and to see. And one of the brothers was a huge passion for missions. He's actually up there in Minneapolis too. His name is Will Jones.
Yeah.
Well, Will is a tremendous evangelist, but he's also got a burden for missions. And so we asked Will, hey, Will, would you mind sitting on our leadership team? Would you speak into what it means to have a diverse missions force? Would you help to mentor some of the people of color that apply for a lifetime of missions, or even just a 1 year journey of missions within Eurasia? And mentor us and help mentor them and be an advocate for us. And so he's agreed to do that. Yep. So starting just in March this month for me, I'm not sure when this is going to be broadcast or aired, but just this month is when he steps into that role. I'm super excited about that. In addition, the leadership team is trying to address the issue of wealth inequality by creating a fund where every person of color who applies for service in AGWM is immediately going to get a jump start, and that missionaries who are on the field can give specifically to this fund to fund people. So for instance, Eurasian missionaries who are already on the field can give out of their accounts to this fund to new people of color that sign up to become missionaries. And so that from the missions body themselves or ourselves, we try to address some of this. And that's actually just that's just happening right now, too. So that's a huge win. So those are a couple in the issue in the areas of diversity. There's other huge wins too. If you got time, I'm not sure how much time we are on.
Yeah, we have at least another little bit of time here. Sure, carry on. Other things that God's doing. We want to hear what God's doing to help mobilize people. So yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things that's just a fact is that people who know, committed Christians who know other Christians, and the Barna Group did a study which confirmed this, but there's lots of different mobilization studies that say the same thing. People who know missionaries are far more likely to become missionaries themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just a fact. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're trying to make connections between people who may have a burden, may feel called, and missionaries who are on the field. Right. And one of the things the pandemic has done for us is, millennials and Gen Z, they're very comfortable in the virtual and digital worlds, especially the younger Gen Z generation. But now, because of the pandemic and working from home and online church and, online exercise and online grocery or shopping and online everything, well, now even people my age, in my 50s now, are much more comfortable in the virtual world, much more comfortable going online. And it's much easier for us now to connect actual missionaries to actual people who may sense a burden. Sure. And we're doing that through things like virtual missions trips, which is probably fodder for a whole other episode. I probably won't get into that, but we've started doing virtual missions trips and it has been phenomenally helpful. We've seen dozens of people choose to sign up and come to the field after just experiencing a 3 or 4 day short-term missions trip. And so starting in May, we're going to be doing these every quarter. But another thing, it's also a virtual experience. We're calling it the Eurasia experience.
Right.
And that's where we turn to our missionary body. And that, as we're recording, it's actually going to happen 2 days from now on March 13th. We asked our missionary body, hey, look around you. You probably know people that God is speaking to about coming to the field.
Yeah.
And why don't you talk to them? Why don't you invite them to this Eurasia experience and just kind of introduce them to what we do and what missions is and what that means? And so we're doing that. The event is happening on Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern time. And we knew that it was going to be well attended, but we had no idea. There are 300 people who are not missionaries, but might feel a burden or a call towards missions. 300 people have been invited and are attending this Saturday night.
That's wonderful.
And if even a small fraction of them say, you know what, now I understand what missions is and I feel like I need to take the next step.
Right.
And that means becoming a missionary myself.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I think we're going to be doing this every year, twice a year. So the next one's going to be in October. And we're just going to keep doing it because and it's a huge win, too. So, we need thousands more missionaries just through our organization.
Sure.
So just to see that the world is reached.
Yeah. Ed, thank you. I want to maybe just on that note, we need more missionaries. I know that you've been a huge proponent of proclamation and help people having a chance to hear. And I think the statistics are roughly 87% of Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists around the world don't know a Christian personally that they can hear the gospel from. And I know that you have, as you served in your area of the world, really emphasized the importance of people having that opportunity. Would there be just some word you'd say as we're closing out here just about that, just that the fact that, there are just so many people still need to hear. And they hear because people say yes and cross cultural barriers and go. Would you just maybe give us a brief just word of encouragement or exhortation here at the end before we close out this podcast?
Absolutely. I'll say this. It starts now. You don't wait to become a missionary and then start sharing with people. But people are really intimidated about sharing their faith because it's something we don't do in America. You know, you don't talk about your faith.
Right.
And so there's been all these programs and frameworks and, you know, trainings about how to do evangelism and, you know, how to overcome objections. And those are all good. But really, all we need to do is to talk about what Jesus has done in our life. Find somebody who doesn't know Jesus, whether it's, you know, a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu or just somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Just start there.
Yes.
And if you're worried about somebody arguing, I mean, we served in very restricted access, hard, what you would might think would be hard Muslim contexts. And people can argue their faith, but you know what they can't argue with? They can't argue with my story. They can't argue with my testimony.
Right.
I can just tell them, you know what? I know what you believe and I know what we believe is different, but I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This is what Jesus has meant to me. And if you start there, it's not hard.
Right.
And we've never had anyone get angry at us, even in a Muslim context country, for sharing our story.
Wow.
Matter of fact, they're always appreciative and they engage with us.
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised. Start here.
Yes. Thank you, Ed. We need that. We need to start here. We need to start now. And starting with our story and what God has done in our life is an amazing way to do
and
that.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing with us. And we really appreciate all you do to mobilize people in Eurasia. And thank you, Ed. We'll stay in touch. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of the Antioch Initiative podcast. We encourage you to follow us on whatever podcasting platforms you use the most. Feel free to check out our social medias to stay updated on all future content.